and welcome to Futures Focus, a fantasy baseball podcast centering around all the top prospects in the game, brought to you by Prospects 1500. My name is Alex Sanchez, and joining me is my co-host, Nate Eckert. We are back with you here to discuss the top 50 prospects for the AL East. Nate, last week, we didn't really get all through it. We got three teams done, so this is part two. Are you ready to tackle the last two teams of the AL East here today?
Oh, you know I am, brother. Last week, the teams were just so damn juicy. We just couldn't stop talking about them. And of course, we had the CEO, what was his name? SCEO, I think
yes,
is what we ended up calling him.
CEO.
Uh-huh. Yep. We had him. He was a lovely guest. But man, that kid knows his AL East. So it was a good information chucked, filled with all sorts of goodies, which we will bring again today.
Today, indeed. And if you are just seeing part two, go ahead and check out part one. If we don't hit the other three teams, we are going over the Rays and the Yankees today. And since it is a little bit smaller of an episode than with just those two teams, figured we'd also have the second half of the podcast dealing with a first-year player draft that we just did in the Beat the Staff League. And Scott Green is in that, and a very creative league where we had our first-year player draft. So we'll go over the results and kind of share our thoughts on where guys should have went, the guys we like for first-year player drafts. I know that season's probably over for a lot of leagues, but it's still vital to see kind of what you got, what the deals you got. Maybe you still have a first-year player draft coming up, or there's some free agents. So we'll get that in the second half. But let's just jump right into it. The Yankees, we will start with them. And there are a lot of guys here that I really, really want to talk about, and I'm excited to hear some of your thoughts. We'll start just kind of giving the order of them. But first, before I do that, let me just do the quick SparkNotes version of the tiers. Remember, we are putting these players in different types of tiers. Tier one being basically the guaranteed all-star tier, where we're very confident that these players are going to be all-stars at one or more times in their career. As the site, I think we have around 30 total tier one players. After that, tier two players are your solid above average major leaguers. Tier three are the average, essentially solid contributors. And tier four and tier fives are guys that, you know, probably don't have a great chance of making it, but some young guys that to keep an eye on, late bloomers perhaps. And so just to always make sure we're familiar with those tiers. And I think it really helps with the discussion as well. So let's start with the sole participant of the tier one group for the Yankees. That is the Martian. That is Jason Dominguez, outfielder, only 20 years old. We got to see his debut last year. Unfortunately, it was cut short with the torn UCL. Unfortunately, again, luckily not a pitcher, so the timetable is not nearly as long, but we're not going to see him quite right away. But what are your expectations for him with the injury and kind of the crowded-ish outfield for the Yankees moving forward here in 2024, Nate?
Well, I don't know about you, Alex, but after seeing him in LA a couple of years ago at that Futures game, I was on the fence. I was really pulling for him to make it as a prospect. And this was 2 years ago. So he was, 18, 19 when he was in the Futures game? And he blasted one. Remember that shot to left center, Oppo? I just looked back at Alex, and he looked at me, and we both just kind of smiled and said, okay, well, he's real, you know? And he is. He's totally real. The Martian name, of course, makes those expectations a bit lofty, but all things considered, I think Dominguez hits every bit of, I'd say 10 all-star games. That would be my guess if I were a betting man. And as long as he stays healthy, because he's so young, you know, the UCL, he's not a pitcher. I think he'll be just fine. I mean, he is the Martian, right? I mean, don't aliens like recover faster? Isn't that like one of their factual evidence of scientific?
Yeah, let's hope so, yeah. Because I definitely want to see him back on the field. He has the it factor that, you know, Yankee fans are going to just love there in the Bronx.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. He, you know, the one little concern for me, which kind of, you know, we saw him at that Futures game for sure, and he performed really well. The bat speed's incredible. He is just so big and yoked out that I wonder if that, you know, this isn't necessarily the sport where that's automatically a good thing. Like, you know, football, somebody comes out yoked like that, and you're pretty excited about it. In baseball, it doesn't always necessarily mean it's a good thing. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing either. But for injuries, I get a little worried about, you know, the flexibility. We see kind of Stanton on the same team have where he's so big and the injuries have crept up here. And then Tyler O'Neill, another guy too. They're just so buff. And seem to get injured more, and they're just a little more stiff. So I get a little worried about that, but man, tier one prospect, no problem with that. And I don't have any issues with these other guys being in tier two. I just want to get your opinion on the order of this. I think the order is very interesting. And I think if you give this to five different people, there would be five different orders after Dominguez. So in tier two, we have Chase Hampton, followed by Spencer Jones, the outfielder. And after tier two, we head to tier three with Everson Pereira, Austin Wells, Roderick Arias, Jorbit Vivas, George Lombard Jr., and Will Warren. So what is your thought on that list right there? Kind of anybody that you would switch out, and then we'll get into them individually.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't like Pereira all that much. I know that there's a lot to like about him. I haven't seen it personally. I love Austin Wells. He would definitely be in my four spot. And I would drop Pereira down perhaps to five. I like Roderick at six. I like that little spot, but I would absolutely switch out, being from the Dodgers, Yorby Vivas. There's a reason why we traded him. It's not like he does anything wrong. He's great on base, you know, either a switch hitter or a lefty. Makes tons of contact. He just doesn't do a whole lot more than that. You know, his speed is middling. He's not exactly, you know, Ozzie Smith out there with the glove. Doesn't have a big arm. So, but he's a solid starter. I would absolutely put Lombard ahead of Vivas, because all he's done in his debut was just absolutely stroke. Last year as a 17, 18 year old, all the kid did was like hit 345, something like that. Looks to be a really solid high floor, if you could even say that for an 18-year-old shortstop. A high floor, but every bit of as high of a ceiling. I'm really high on Lombard Jr. because his frame is just so delectable for projections. And as far as Will Warren is concerned, he's one of those guys who's been around forever. So 9, 10, 11, whatever. I don't care. I would rather see like somebody like Henry Lalanne up there a little bit further. I also like Jared Serna, Justin Lang. That's another one. But overall, pretty accurate.
So I agree with you that I think Lombard deserves to be a little bit higher. I'm actually going to disagree with you a little bit about Will Warren. So when I look at this system, I see two guys that are ranked very highly, Chase Hampton and Austin Wells. And below them, two guys that are ranked a little bit lower, Will Warren and Ben Rice. And honestly, I can see either one of those pitchers being, you know, making the rotation out of camp. Just takes one injury to a Yankees rotation that's pretty fragile.
And which will happen.
Yeah, it's a very fragile rotation. And I could see Will Warren with his you know, he's 24 and he's taking over that. And I think there's a lot to like with Will Warren. I don't know that Warren's, you know, six spots difference. And then Ben Rice had just a blow up year last year. And I know Austin Wells, there's some intrigue and hype about him using that short white right field wall and just becoming a 30 homer bat. But I really like Ben Rice. And I think that, you know, you could group all of those together in this organization and I'd be fine with it. In fact, that's what I would do just because I could see Hampton being the best, but I could also see Warren being the best. Wells and Rice, they I mean, they're very similar in terms of their potential in my eyes. The guy, though, I really want to talk about, who I would put at number two, and I have him fringe tier one. I can't put him in the tier one yet, but Spence? In my rankings, he's going to be a top 50 guy, and that's Spencer Jones.
Absolutely. Could not agree more.
I'm in very intrigued with this guy for a couple of reasons. Number one, the numbers he put up last year, 16 homers, 29 doubles as a 6'7". Again, I'll say that 6'7". Judge.
6'7".
Yeah. And this is a guy that did not really go full time as a hitter until essentially this last year or two. And he's still learning. And if he's still learning, doing those types of things at AA with that type of build, I'm just going to go all in on a guy like this that's only a level away from making an impact. And he has speed, too. That's the thing that is really, really intriguing about this. I mean, we're talking about a 6'7 guy. And I don't know how closely you looked at Jones last year, but do you know how many stolen bases Spencer Jones had last year?
With Vandy or last year? Oh, last year he had 12. Oh, I'm sorry. 2023 had 43 steals. Yeah.
There you go. So 42. Well, maybe you see 40. What? 40 plus steals to go with his 16 homers. So fantasy-wise, I'm taking a gamble on this guy because I don't want to take a gamble on a catcher, and I'm not taking a gamble on an arm ahead of Spencer Jones. I don't mind after, but give me Spencer Jones as a to me, I if I get a little tipsy enough, I could get him into tier one. But right now, I agree it's tier two player, but I love him, man.
I would put him ahead of whoever they had at number one. Let me look. Who was it again? It was the Martian. We can't put him ahead of him. Yeah, I guess we can't because we did see him in person. But hey, an injury, or maybe like a month's worth of Spencer Jones and his freakish numbers, and maybe a slump from the Martian. We could have a bit of a discussion about that. I mean, this kid, 6'7", like you already mentioned, he's the left-handed Aaron Judge. I mean, come on.
But he has that stolen base game. That's what's really intriguing.
I know. And on top of that, remember when Aaron Judge couldn't hit the ball for anything when he was in the minors before he really made that breakout? He had an on-base percentage of, like, I don't know, high twos, something like that. Jones is already equipped with a discerning eye. And last year, even though he reached AA, started the year at high A, his on-base percentage doesn't blow you away. But for a 6'7 power-hitting monster, athletic, et cetera, player, going in, I think he was 21 last year. To have a 336 on base percentage over 117 games, mind you, that was his first taste of full season baseball. Well, he got a taste, all right. He got a taste, and then he got some dessert. 480 at bats. So he learned a lot last year, and I'm looking for Spencer Jones to really make an impact this year. Like, he's taking what he's given. He's going to come back after the offseason, and I think he's really going to start punishing the ball and the opposing pitchers quickly.
I hope there's definitely some downside to him as well. Like, he didn't dominate in terms of, you know, for what we would want a 22-year-old future All-Star to do. And there's certainly ways that he could get put a stymied and hit a roadblock and just fizzle out. But in fantasy, I'm just going to take a chance on a guy like him. I think he's undervalued right now, which is tough to do as a Yankees prospect. I think we should mention that too. Like, these guys are going to be 10 to 15% more expensive in a lot of leagues because they're Yankees. So,
yeah, every bit of it. And don't forget, Alex, that last year, or 2022, I keep saying last year is 2022. 2022, that was, he only played in 25 games. He had 93 at-bats. That was his first taste of pro ball, and he scorched it. So in his first taste of full season, he had middling, I guess you could say, for a monster like Jones, but really look for him this year.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued with him. The same sort of argument goes to Roderick Arias, and you know, he was almost a lesson for me when I'm talking about drafting international prospects with first year player draft picks because he had such a horrible debut. Luckily, for people that did pick him, when you know, you had to pick him in the first round in a lot of places, he had a nice bounce back in 2023, and now we're looking at a five tool type of prospect with, you know, ahead of schedule now, even at, you know, 19 years old, switch hitter, and just a lot to like fantasy wise on the infield. Hopefully he can stay on the infield. Yeah. And then I, you know, we kind of already mentioned some guys that are in that tier four. I mentioned Ben Rice. I would put him in tier three. I like him enough. I like him just as much as Austin Wells. I don't see the big difference in value. And then you said Henry Lalanne, who is also he's just a little further away than I like my pitchers to be that I'm willing to rank high. But 15 is pretty aggressive for a 19-year-old in the Yankees system. And then
lefty.
We like the lefties.
6'7".
Yeah. So, I mean, getting some of these guys early in the Yankees is never a bad strategy either, even if you don't think they're going to make it, because chances are they'll have some value. But it's a pretty darn good system. Got your nice tier one prospect at the top with, you know, undisputed, and a couple of high props. You know, these guys are pretty close when we talk about Chase Hampton and Will Warren, and Emerson Pereira has already made his debut. Austin Wells has made his debut. Vivas will probably make his debut this year. And there's going to be some openings most likely in the case of the injuries, or, you know, the Yankees do the Yankee way, but these guys are going to get some value this year.
Alex, let's not forget about Clayton Beter also. I mean, remember my prediction that Clayton Beter has the stuff to become the next great closer in baseball. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? I said that years ago. Well, he's on the doorstep. He'll probably get a start or two, but I don't see him sticking at starting pitcher. But that could be good for him. I think it will be good for him because this stuff is so dirty. He has such good deception. He just somehow gets that fastball behind himself, and then the next thing you know, it's on you. So anyway, there's lots to like about the Yankees, and I think we just covered quite a bit of them.
Yeah, so we'll move on now to the Rays, which has shown impressive development over the last couple of years, of course. And I think at first glance, when you take a look at the system, you're not as excited as you've been in the past. However, there are certainly guys that you want to pay attention to. I don't want to tell people that just because they're the Rays, you should get all these guys. I think we got to be careful with that. Very, just like the Yankees prospects sort of thing, like we got to be careful and sort of remove that lens and take a look at these guys for what they are, with the idea that, you know, they tend to have a pattern when it comes to the Rays, and they find power in places that we maybe didn't think of. You see Isaac Paredes, and, you know, guys that we don't think can hit 30 home runs are hitting 30 home runs for the Rays. So just keep that in mind. Yeah. Don't go crazy with it. But we can go crazy with our tier one player here for the Rays. That's Junior Caminero. Makes his MLB debut last year, which, you know, when we take a step back and think about that, even if it was seven games, is just about as insane of a statement you could have made last year. Like, if you did that on your bold predictions, you would have been considered quite bold. But it happened. And I don't know if he's opening day or not. You know, it's the Rays. They like to platoon, and he's not a guy you platoon. So
no.
Shortstop's available. I don't know if he's a, you know, a great future shortstop prospect. But whatever. This guy's going to hit 30 home runs multiple times, and he's my number two prospect in all of baseball right now.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. The kid is an absolute monster. To put it into perspective, last year I picked him up when he was called up in my redraft league that I eventually won. And in the last game of the season, I believe, at least for us in our championship, Caminero went yard. It was an oppo right center screamer out of Rogers Center. And I had been waiting for him to do that, you know, for that whole seven games that I was waiting, you know, but it was championship week. And here I am starting Evan Carter and Caminero over guys who I had rostered all season long and doing it very confidently, because this is who we're getting now in MLB, are these young studs who come up and it, I don't know, for me, you could just tell. Just tell that Caminero's going to get that ball. He's going to make contact. And when he does, oh, look out, because that thing is screaming wherever it goes. Doesn't matter if it goes 500 feet or, you know, right down first baseline or wherever. He's making really hard contact. And those levers of his, my God, is he not the longest? I mean, it says he's only 6'1". That cannot be right, MLB. I'd like to get out there with the tape measure a little bit longer because
Baseball Reference has them at 6'1", 157.
Right? Yeah, that's what MLB Pipeline has them at too. And I'm sorry, but that's plainly wrong. That's false. That's not true. He's no way he's 150. If he's 157, I'm 195. I'm 195.
Look, I haven't seen that type of opposite field powers since Ronald Acuña. And that's what creates superstars. I mean, you take a look at Ronald. I know I talk about him a lot, but watch him every day. And so when you have the ability to turn an opposite field double into a home run, that's when you are in elite company. Otani's doing this now too, by the way, just driving balls out the opposite way and just can't get these guys out then. And so he has that already as a 20-year-old. It's pretty insane. So you can go ahead and invest whatever you'd like in him, and I would not mind at all. My question to you is, are you going to have him number two, or are you going to put Churio in front of him? Are you going to put Jackson in front of him? Where do you think he's going to end up?
Yeah, I got Holiday numero uno, but Caminero is my number two prospect overall.
Agreed. Okay. Well, fun to talk about him, but we should move on and go over the three players that are in tier two. That is going to be Carson Williams, shortstop, 20-year-old at number two, who I've come around on a little bit. We'll get to him in a second. Xavier Isaac, first baseman, another 20-year-old. These are three 20-year-olds in a row for those keeping score at home. And number four, the end of tier two, is Curtis Meade, the Australian, who did make his debut last year. So we'll stop there for a second. You know what? I don't really have a problem with this order. I think the ceiling for Carson Williams is much higher than those other two, and I'm all about ceiling. So let's do that. The defense is also going to keep him at short. You know, wouldn't be surprising if he's just the Ray shortstop by the All-Star break. Like, that crazy. That doesn't seem that insane. Maybe he doesn't hit well right away, but he's going to be great defensively and could be there for a long, long time. Xavier Isaac, Curtis Meade. I mean, are you cool with this order?
Yeah, absolutely. Meade, in my book, has dropped down. Carson has risen, of course. I don't know if you remember, because you're in like 18 different dynasty leagues, Alex, but you and I made a trade last year, and I ended up getting Carson Williams, and I was very excited about that. I don't usually invest in the right-handed hitting shortstops like Carson Williams, but he reminds me so much of Bobby Witt Jr. It's crazy. Like, his hit tool isn't as good as Bobby's, but it could be. It could be. Maybe more discerning eye. But, I mean, let's just look at his power, his speed, and then that defense. You know, Tampa loves a good defensive shortstop. I mean, how long did Adames, linger in Tampa without doing anything at the plate? Now, I hope they give Williams a long enough leash. I know Tampa is always in the running, so there's a bit of regression that I'm afraid of. I have him in the Zhao dynasty. I'm looking forward for his debut, but he doesn't even turn 21 until June 25th. I mean, that's a great thing, but at the same exact time, I know he's going to get called up sooner than later. So I just don't want him to fall into like a 0-for-40 or something like that. Have a debut similar to the kid in St. Louis. Mason Wynn.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got raw everything. His ceiling is enormous. His floor is pretty low. But this kid puts it all together like he did last year. You're looking at 30 home runs, 30 steals with his eyes closed.
Yeah. Just got to watch out for the hit tool, but with the defense, regardless, he'll get some counting stats at worst, I'd imagine. Now, here is kind of where I'm headed with this. The first baseman prospect, I'm sort of just not going to worry about as much as I have in the past. At least I'm not going to rank him as highly.
You don't like Isaac? Alex?
I love Isaac. I think he's a great hitter, but I'm just not going to invest in these types of guys in first-year player drafts and in trades. Because the hit tool just has to go so far. I mean, how many Pete Alonzos have we seen, right? That just they're a big prospect and they hit that ceiling enough to hit and provide no defensive value.
I think Jose Abreu was the only other one. that was 10 years prior.
So if you have Isaac, I'm not saying get rid of him by any means. I mean, he's a big leaguer. The things he's doing certainly scream that, but he's not a guy that I'm just going to go ahead and invest in because it just takes one little notch down and then there's nowhere left for him to go. Like Carson Williams, if he takes a notch down in his hitting, the defense is going to carry him at short.
Third, second,
get along. Sure, yeah. You know, hitting 220 and going 20-20, and he'll still play for 10 years. But if Xavier Isaac starts hitting 220 at any point, it's over. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to invest in these guys. In fact, if I'm being honest, I'll probably take Curtis Mead ahead of Xavier Isaac for a lot of proximity also helps for me. I still believe in Curtis Mead. Curtis Mead's interesting. We'll kind of segue into that too. In the fact that he had an injury early on.
Did he?
He got hit a wrist injury hit by pitch and it sort of kind of derailed the season. Then he gets kind of over it, gets the call to MLB. And we've talked about not really worrying about short sample sizes in the MLB.
When
he was good to go, down in the minors, which is kind of what I'm going off of. He was the same guy that showed that he could hit 300 in the big leagues and hit maybe 30 homers too, which is just, you don't find that very often anymore. So
no, not at third, especially.
And it's, if he can stick at third, which is open. I mean, it's open ish.
Caminero,
open
ish.
I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah. They can go in eight different directions for sure.
I mean, they'll probably have him closing, cause it's Tampa.
Yeah. So Mead, and we talk about the debut actually wasn't as bad as I remember. It's 253. So,
I didn't know he was hurt with that wrist injury either, Alex. Yeah. That's a nice little tidbit because, wrist injuries are detrimental as hell especially for hitters. So,
And so I agree with you. The value has gone lower than he had been last year, but buy low opportunity if you can get him. Actually in the Highlander league, I traded basically my first year player draft, would have been like somebody like Tommy Troy ish. I don't remember if it would have been probably even like a step below for Curtis Mead. And I was very, very happy with that. He's still second base eligible.
He's got second base also to fall back on.
Probably get enough games there, I'd imagine, the way the Rays do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's move on to three here. We have a first-year player guy that we could talk about a little bit later in Braden Taylor. Mason Montgomery, the short lefty who's knocking on the door, comes in at number six. Adrian Santana, 18-year-old shortstop, second base infielder. Old friend of mine, Cole Wilcox from San Diego, already 24, and how time flies.
Wow. Coming to eight.
Colton Ledbetter, outfielder at number nine, 22-year-old. Dominic Keegan, 23-year-old, comes in at number 10. And then Ian Seymour rounds out tier number three, lefty, 25-year-old. So I don't know. There's a big gap for me with Keegan and even Ledbetter versus the top of this list, but these could all be tier three guys. Anybody that we'll talk about Taylor, let's save him a little bit maybe later. But what do you, any names stick out to you? Maybe that you would.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that he was in tier three, but Yoniel Curet, the righty starter for the Rays. Are you familiar with this guy, Alex?
No, not much. Tell me about
it. Wow. Last year, so he's only 21. Okay. 6'2", 190. Fastball grades at 65, slider grades at 60. He's got a changeup, but it's more or less average. But he's starting to work on it, and he's getting some tumble, and he's getting to command it a little bit. So that's encouraging. He's a righty, 6'2", 210, I believe. No, 190. Only 21. Doesn't turn 22 until November 3rd. Okay. 2023 went 8-1 with a 2.94 ERA. He started in 22 games, pitched 104 innings across two levels. That was single A and single A advanced. Okay, so I'm not as hyped, but for somebody that you would pay absolutely zilch for, and for somebody who is probably more than likely available on your waiver wire this second. He only gave up a grand total of two home runs last year. Two. 104 innings, gave up two. Year before that, he only gave up three. Year before that, he gave up zero. That was 42 innings and 51 innings, respectively. The season prior, in 2022, he had a 2.14 ERA. In the season before that, in the Dominican, 3.71. But anyway, he walks too many guys. He needs to shorten that up. But if there's any system that I trust regarding wiping up a starter's, you know, mechanics, it's absolutely Tampa. Opponent average last year, combined between single A and single A advanced, of 170 and a whip of 122. So, I mean, for what it's going to cost you, which is nothing, this kid could really turn into a ceiling, like a third starter.
Nice. I don't know much about him, so good details to keep in mind. And like you said, the Rays, although they do get a bunch of injuries, it seems like they do get the most out of these pitchers as well. So there's a couple of guys ahead of him, you know, on the pecking order we should mention in terms of Cole Wilcox, Mason Montgomery. Montgomery's going to see some big league starts. I mean, probably double digit starts for them, if I'm being honest. Not a huge ceiling for this guy, but certainly has had great results in terms of his minor league career and knows how to pitch. So I could see him even taking a step forward once he gets to the major league level for the Rays. Cox is the guy that I loved when he was coming out of the draft. I mean, this guy would have gone in the top five had injuries not sort of bumped him back that year. And if you take a look at his stats from last year after the surgery, you're not going to be too impressed. Five ERA for the year, but you know, a young kid coming back from a major surgery, I'm okay with ignoring that and remembering how dominant he looked in college. So 24 years old. Yeah. Georgia.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable stuff that he had.
Beast.
Yeah. Insane stuff. So
And he had really good career leading up to that injury as well. I mean, I know they were the lower levels, but it doesn't matter. I mean, they put him where they put him, right? So he's had a really good career prior to the injury. So it'll be interesting to see, Alex, how he rebounds this year now that he's fully healthy.
Yeah, I forgot. He dropped all the way to the third round, but without the injury, he was top 15 type of guy before, if you go to the beginning of the year.
That was 2020 also, where everything was skewed because it was 2020. 6'5", 232. Woo! What a beast. He's a
perfect body.
Yeah.
His stuff's really good. So a buy low candidate, nothing to lose there. Nasty stuff. So, all right. It's fun to kind of look at some of these guys. You know, I said this at the beginning, is not to crown the Rays as perfect, because there's some guys here that we loved a few years ago that are all the way down in tier 5. Let me remind you about Carlos Colmenares, Craig Jones, Baby Trout, Cameron Meisner. Heriberto Hernandez, who was everybody's darling there for a second. I mean, these guys have gone downhill, to say the least. So
big time.
Don't need to own any of those guys. unfortunately.
Ask Mike Kelly about old Carlos C.
So I mean, don't forget, Colmenares is 20. Like, I guess he.
I know. Neither am I. I mean, he's pretty much finished. Just kidding.
All right, Nate. We have completed now the top 50 for the AL East. Why don't we go ahead and take a break and let's do a recap on the first year player draft that we just completed in the Prospects 1500 Beat the Staff. So Futures Focus here with you. My name, Alex Sanchez. Nate Eckert with me. We'll be right back after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And we are back, and with a little extra time here on the podcast, Nate, let's go ahead and recap the most recent draft that we just finished. You and I both participated in. This is the Beast of a League 16-team prospects-only league that has multiple staff writers and multiple listeners as well. And again, just to remind you about the structure of this league, quite unique. I suggest doing one of these leagues if you can.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of fun. You could only draft prospects. Any guy, even if he had one major league at bat or innings pitched, he is ineligible to draft. And so we started this a few years ago, and you'll see Ronald Acuna and Mike Trout, everybody on the free agent list. And the only way to get stats is to have your prospects eventually get called up. And everybody has about 50 or so, give or take, if you had some recent call-ups. So that's a lot of prospects. The names here at the end, you know, I'm struggling just to find guys that to draft in general.
Yeah.
So what is important about this draft, and we'll go over this here, and you'll see it middle of the draft right away, is that you want guys with a little bit closer proximity than you would perhaps the international guys in normal prospects drafts, like in first year player drafts. So guys that are essentially guaranteed at bats and innings, like Imanaga and Lee for the Giants, they're going to go a little
Yamamoto.
Bit higher. Of course. Yamamoto's going high note regardless, but I
probably
think that the other type of guy, and even Matsui for the Padres as well, who looked good against the Dodgers the other day, but he got picked in the first round. You're probably not seeing this maybe any of those guys go in the first round. But just remember that this is all geared towards getting these guys to the big leagues as quickly as possible so you can get points. Otherwise, you're just going to lose horribly. It's a roto league. So this kind of steered where I was going with my pick. I had the fifth overall pick. It doesn't look like it quite goes for you that much with your pick. We'll get into that.
No.
You guys a little further away. So, but your other guys, I see, you know, it makes, you know, they're closer. So let's go over the first. So again, we're kind of coupling this together with a first year player draft primer, if you will, a guide. If you are participating in them or you have them or you need to know the value of these guys. I think there's a pretty obvious top five that you're just going to be thrilled to get if you have any of those. Actually, for me, it's six. I'll tell you who this guy is. But it's Langford. It's Cruz. That's why Langford, Texas outfielder, Dylan Cruz, outfielder for the Nationals. Yamamoto for the Dodgers and Walker Jenkins and Paul Skeens. And that's a pretty much universal tier one. You could even say tier 1.5 with Langford being in his own tier, I suppose. You're taking Langford number one everywhere. There's really no doubt about that. But then the real argument is who do you take at number two? So in our league, Dylan Cruz goes number two. In almost every league I've been in, Yamamoto has gone number two. As a Dodger fan, who do you think you're taking there? Or does it have a little bit of context for the league for you?
Yeah, in our league, I'm taking Yamamoto for this league because of exactly what we just got done talking about. Kodai Senga last year, oh my God. He provided so much value for the guy who inevitably was like second to last. But regardless, he got more value out of Senga than I did out of pretty much all of my offensive players by the end of the season. So Yamamoto's stuff is, I would venture to say, better than Senga's. And I think the overall package is better than Senga's. And he pitches for a better team, better division, etc. So, yeah, Yamamoto was an absolute slam dunk, especially for this league itself.
So what scenario, or if there even is one, would you take Dylan Cruz ahead?
Like maybe in the Zao, sorry, in the league that I started that Alex is also in the Zao Dynasty, I needed to fill in my outfield prospects, my farm in the outfield. Let's say I'm pitcher heavy and I don't need Yamamoto. Plainly, I need an outfielder who can run. Dylan Cruz, I mean, is he not the prototype for somebody like that? I mean, he's five-tooled up, and his floor is damn near as high as the ceiling, you know, which is just so stupid to say. But Cruz is going to be an absolute monster for years to come. And that's what you want in dynasties. I mean, Yamamoto, I mean, hey, let's say the Dodgers turn into the next dynasty with Otani. They win three times or whatever, and then he flies back on his merry way to Japan. Well, Dylan Cruz is not going to be going anywhere anytime soon. I don't think Yamamoto will either, but I'm just trying to make an argument that Dylan Cruz is here to stay. And I've loved this kid since he was a high schooler in 2020. I was disappointed that he had to go to college, but that was absolutely the right choice because he grew exponentially, physically, mentally, you name it. So, yeah, I love Dylan Cruz, but in our league, this league, the prospects only one, 16 team prospects only, I'm taking Yamamoto over Cruz.
Yeah. So, I agree with you. I think most of the time I'm probably taking Yamamoto, but after that though, it does come down to, some bit of a decision. Cruz, Jenkins, and Skeens. So with those three guys, they go in that order if you don't include Yamamoto. What do you think about maybe pushing Walker Jenkins ahead of Cruz, or is that
Yeah, I really like Walker Jenkins a lot. I think scouts were a little too harsh on his hit tool and not bullish enough on his athleticism. I mean, all this kid did was separate himself completely, almost completely, from the guy who I inevitably ended up drafting. Max, what's his last name? Clark.
Yeah.
Max Clark. And I mean, as a high school senior, this kid looks like he belongs in the bigs. I mean, 6'3", 215. He is a powerhouse, absolute powerhouse from the left side. And I didn't see any at bat. And I watched a lot of Jenkins tape. I watch a lot of these guys' tape. Jenkins was easily, besides Skeens, of course, watching him mow down everybody, and Eldridge and his power. Walker Jenkins was probably holistically my very favorite and most fun player to watch, just because of how badly he just obliterated the ball at the high school level. Now, I know people get concerned about, you know, these kids who grow up, who grow physically much faster than kids their own age. I don't care. I don't care about any of that, because you put Walker Jenkins in the pros, which is exactly what happened. And did anything change? No, he's still raked. So I don't see any reason why he won't continue to rake until, I don't know, maybe he hits double A, because that always seems to be, you know, where the pedal or whatever, the rubber meets the whatever. But I like him a lot. Yes, thank you.
I've done a few of these now, and it's pretty obvious that it goes Langford, and then it's Cruz, Yamamoto, however you want to do those two, and then Jenkins almost mm-hmm. always goes at four, and mm-hmm. Skeens usually goes at number five, and then it's mm-hmm. You know, pick your poison.
Yeah.
After that, I like Matt Shaw enough to put him into that same tier. That if you're at six,
you're really high on Matt Shaw. I know.
I like Matt Shaw a lot. Yeah, he's gonna be in my top 30 when it gets all said and done.
Whoa. Yeah.
So, but still, I would take him sixth. I was at number five, and so even mm-hmm. if. Mm-hmm. I was at number six, and you know, I'm taking Skeens ahead of Shaw in this particular league with my team, probably most leagues too, but Skeens is major league ready in a few starts, I'd imagine, and I am desperate for pitching in this league.
You drafted Skeens in our league in yeah, the prospects and, only.
Mm-hmm,
oh, you yeah. lucky bastard.
Yeah, I need a pitch. My pitching is so bad. Like the prospects I did what I tell everybody to do. I picked a lot of bats, and so the bats have been fine, but it's been hard to get pitching. So I went, Skeens is a perfect pick for me here. But even then, like, I would still always probably, if all things equal, I would have to consider Skeens and Shaw, depending on some other things. But Skeens usually is probably going there at number five. So the real decision is at number six, because I know I'm very high on Matt Shaw. I know a lot of people are too. A lot of other people are very high on Eldridge. I've seen Eldridge. I mean, Eldridge goes pretty high in our league here at 11. I've seen mm-hmm. people be all in on Colt Emerson. I've seen people mm-hmm. love Tommy Troy. I've seen people mm-hmm. take Noah Meyer there. I've seen mm-hmm. Waldrip even go. I mean, that's kind of who I would take there at six. If
Nolan Schonell.
Yeah, if you want the big league guy in this league. He's definitely
that would also be helpful.
Yeah. But Gasper goes with probably a pick you won't see often in other leagues, but it makes a lot of sense in this league, and that's Jung Hyo Lee, the $100 million man that the Giants paid. It's still kind of crazy that they paid him that much to be you know, there's no way he's gonna end up being a superstar or anything like that.
No.
It's kind of like Yoshida for the Red Sox, I'd imagine. You know, he's guaranteed a spot, and so that totally makes sense. Number six, I don't mind it. Yeah, so I wouldn't take him in the first round in other leagues, but in this league, I would have definitely thought about it at number six or seven ish.
Even same at thing six, kind of goes,
yeah, something same thing goes for Shota Imanaga, who goes at number 7. It's the same thing, right? These guys, $53 million. He's going to get starts for Chicago.
Yep. Yep.
Even if he's mediocre, like, you're still winning there. So,
yep. Yep.
I actually, in another league I'm in where I'm very good, farm system's great, but I lost Kyle Bradish. And so I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm taking Imanaga at 7 as well. Mm-hmm. Probably not the greatest long-term move, but I wanted to win this year with, and I need some pitching. So he's probably not going there in most leagues, although he did in this league and in another league I'm in. So maybe, I don't know, but where do you think you would draft those guys in a traditional setting, all things considered? You know, give me some other names you would maybe throw ahead of them.
Yeah. Knowing where Eldridge is going now in drafts, I couldn't believe it. Because we were doing both of our drafts, the Zao Dynasty and the Prospects Only draft, simultaneously, right? So I think the Zao started before Prospects, and then either caught up or who knows. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is Eldridge I took in the Zao in the second round, no problem. I don't even think I thought twice about it. And by that I mean he was still available. I still had plenty of people in my queue, and it did not feel like Eldridge was going anytime soon. Now, I could be completely wrong, but I'm glad I took him in the second round because I love that kid, especially as a hitter. When they announced that he's going to be hitting only, I was really pumped because he's never focused entirely on hitting. I know he's power first. I don't usually do power first, but for this kid, I feel like there's an exception. I know the Giants don't have a great history of homegrown outfielding sluggers, but hey, Hunter Pence, you know, I think the Hunter Pences of the world outweigh the Luis Matos and Helioids. But anyway, on top of that, who was another few guys that I liked? Well, I think I ended up taking Max Clark in the first round. What pick was that? Do you know, Alex?
Yes,
I can't remember.
You took Max Clark at number 9 overall.
And I thought that was an absolute steal, considering what Max Clark can do. And we haven't seen it yet as pro level. You have as a high schooler, but this kid's on base percentage. I mean, he rolls out of bed, wakes up, and can go 4 for 4 when he's right. And I don't see any reason why any of that's going to change. He'll grow. He'll get faster. He'll get better. He'll be quicker with his hands. Everything that he's done in high school, I believe he will translate to the bigs. Now, I can understand why people would be a bit hesitant, and I also can understand why a lot of those international guys are taken ahead of him. But as I'm sitting there at 9, I'm elated that Max Clark falls down to moi because he's Max Clark. There's no two ways around it. I really like the kid. He reminds me a ton of Evan Carter. And I'm excited. I'm excited about that draft pick. I really and truly am.
Yeah. He's a little far away.
Of course.
We've seen two guys. I'll give you two names that give me a little bit of pause. And it's Zach Veen and it's Robert Hassel. Those two guys.
And you think he comps with Zach Veen?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just, pretty close. I'm just saying these high school guys that had this hit tool without the power have sort of fizzled out on us lately. So that has nothing to do with Max Clark per se. I'm just throwing those two names out there without assuming that these guys are going to get better. But the speed for Max Clark and the defense make him a better bet for sure.
Yes.
I'm taking Matt Shaw ahead of him. I love Matt Shaw. I think Matt Shaw is
If you're at the 9, if you're at the 9 like I was, would you take Matt Shaw over Max Clark?
Yes, I would take Matt Shaw after a 6th. I mean, I took
right. Yeah, you're really high on him.
That's already did. Okay, hang on. Let's just talk about what Matt Shaw did. He got up
sure.
to double A. By the way,
wow,
eight homers and 15 steals.
Wow, total or at just at double A?
Total. So we got in June, then he goes out and does that.
Wow, what school did he go to?
Double A, 22-year-old, 7 homers, 16. That's pretty good. So
That's incredible. Are you kidding me?
He's fantastic. I think he's super close as well.
He's a righty though, right?
And he's shortstop. What's that?
He's a right-handed hitter.
Yeah, he's like a shorter righty. He's like 5'11", but he has that opposite field power that we talked about with Junior Caminero, where he's able to drive the ball to right. It's like a skill that I'm sort of discovering here in my later age of baseball knowledge and scouting is that it's a skill to go opposite field with power. And
absolutely.
Like if I'm a pitcher, I don't know how to get guys that can hit it out to right and hit it out to left. Like, where do you do?
Where do you go?
But yeah, I would take Shaw there. We should talk about Hurston Waldrop as well. Goes to Sean Kernahan, who you and I really respect in his scouting. Mm-hmm. Very much his own. He's not listening to anyone else. So to see him go at number eight, who I love. I mean, I don't know. As a Braves fan, I know I've watched a lot of video about him, but I don't know if you've seen his splitter or not, but that splitter is out of the world.
I was so angry. I was at the draft, of course, in Seattle, and I think I screamed out loud when Waldrop went to the Braves. And I remember Sean looked at me and he just kind of shook his head like, oh man, I'm sorry. And I was like stuffing, I didn't have a pillow, but I think whatever packet of information they gave us, I was like stuffing that in my mouth, trying not to scream, because you guys weren't far from the Dodgers. You know, we were right there. So if you weren't going to get him, we sure as hell were. But I can't remember which team picked first. Doesn't matter. To get him that deep in the first round, I mean, that kid is so nasty. Oh, God. He's so nasty.
I was quite confused on why he was still there at 24 as a college guy. It's not like he had a lot of leverage. I guess he's a junior, I'm assuming. I don't know if he had leverage or not. But, he was going. Anyway, and the one thing the Braves need is just a little bit more pitching. Like they did. So it was just a match made in heaven. So let me ask you this.
Yes.
If we're just, again, kind of getting this in terms of what we think the rankings would be, would you have taken Waldrop ahead of Max Clark?
No, I doubt it.
Okay.
But he's very, very close.
Skeens ahead of Max Clark?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Clark is your sixth, essentially.
Yeah, and you have to remember about Clark. He's going number one in any other draft any other year. It just happened to be the super draft this year. Yeah,
it's a super draft, great point. We need to mention that, too.
No matter where you go, top six, you're getting a first overall pick.
Which is just
nuts, you know?
He does have a little bit of that, you know, a guy that we knew of as a junior already, Bryce Harper Clark. Type of vibe.
Yeah, Bryce Harper-ish. He does, because he's got that swag. He's got like, 20 million followers. He always wears that eye black, all crazy, you know. Yeah, but
they all do. Everybody that age does now, by the way.
They all like they're football players or something, you know.
All right, let's move on here. You know, I think the listeners are getting that you're a Max Clark guy. I'm a Matt Shaw guy. We both love Waldrop in that order. For me, though, a couple of guys that it's worth a discussion. I agree with you when you talked about Eldridge. I'm not quite pulling the trigger ahead of Wilkin, Emerson, or Troy. But after Teal, I think I'd take Kyle Teal ahead of.
Yeah, I took Teal ahead of Eldridge in the
But zone. After that, I think I'm totally fine picking him like 15th or 16th overall. I like Emerson a lot. I love I think Tommy Troy has one of the highest floors out of anybody in the entire draft. Mm-hmm. And Brock Wilkin has just the power that tantalizes me. So I'm trying to get him in one or two leagues if it's just the have 50 homer power potential.
What a monster, huh?
He is salivating, yes, at times.
Yeah, he's so strong. So strong.
Yeah. I like his swing, too. Like, it's just...
Yeah,
it's just a powerful looking swing. Good build.
A lot of violence in that.
He's super fun. So, I guess it's... So, Eldridge, Wilkin, Emerson, Troy, and Teal. Who are you taking if they're all on the... board right there.
Still on the board.
Yeah.
Probably Emerson over all of them.
Me too. I agree 100%. Then who?
I love. Name them again for me, please.
So you got Wilkin, Troy, and Teal.
And Aldridge.
Well, we're Aldridge, sorry. You could pick Aldridge if you want. I think I'm taking all those other guys ahead of Aldridge, but
yeah, I'm with you. Teal. Teal goes next.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, we talked about him with Adam a little bit. We've already talked about Tommy Troy too with the Diamondbacks, so you know our thoughts on there. So it's, you know, when I was looking at this and trying to rebuild in a couple of leagues and get draft picks, I really didn't care where it was, and as long as it was a first rounder, I was going to be pretty stoked.
Oh yeah.
That you're good. And you know what? One guy in your league for sure is picking Imanaga and Jonghu Lee early. Mm-hmm. And so like you could get a 10th rounder. It might be a Waldrip falls to you. It might be a Shaw or an Eldridge or whoever falls down to you and you're set to go. So I was loving getting first round picks. And then, you know what else I loved getting was late third round picks as well. Of these guys later on, they're just so good. Like the difference between, here we go, Chase Davis, who goes number 2-1 overall, so 17th overall, and somebody like Mac Hovath, who goes to Baltimore a whole round later, or Cooper Pratt, or George Lombard Jr., who we talked about. You took Hurley, who we've talked about as well, Jack Hurley out of Arizona, Bryce Matthews, Johnny Farmello. I mean, these guys are all great. And so I was getting third round picks and just adding those guys left and right because they all seem like late first rounders to me. So,
yeah, absolutely. Arjun Nimala.
Yeah, he's another great name. A little further away, you can get another Naylor if you wanted, and Bo and Miles Naylor. And
you could have the whole damn family if you wanted.
We'll kind of wrap this up here, but I do want to go over some of the orders so people can get an idea. So we talked about kind of that. I think after Kyle Teal and Bryce Eldridge, like that's the end of that tier. That, I mean, to me, it goes all the way to, you know, Matt Shaw for me, Max Clark for you. And then all those guys are in that same tier. You can be happy with any of them. And then you have, you know, we had Yuki Matsui going to Scotty because
he's a homer. He's a
little guy. Just kidding. Getting big leaguers. I get it. So
Scotty was drafting backup catchers so that he would be major league eligible for this league.
Exactly. Smart. It's not a bad 4 strategy.
4 years ago.
Chase Davis. Won. Yeah, he did. So, well, it's his league. He cheated somehow. Chase Davis goes at the start of the second round, and then followed by the New York Mets shortstop, Colin Hawk.
Yeah, who, like him.
I like you. Nothing wrong with Hawk. A little early for me. I take some
little early.
Guys. Yeah.
A little early.
Trevor Werner, who goes to Kansas City, is very early for me. Him in the third.
I'm not even looking at him in the fifth round. Who took him?
Jeremy. He has his own. He does
his
things too. Separate the pars list, right?
He
might be honest. So he did pick Horvath later, so I like that.
Yeah, I
now,
like Horvath.
Leo DeVries, the San Diego Prize prospect. That one is so tricky. When to take him? This is pretty late, to be honest. I've seen him go first round. You're going to have to wait a long time. I don't have a lot of great information that I'd be confident in sharing with people. Just got to take a shot in the dark. He could turn into Roderick Arias in 2 years, or he could turn into guys. Making Arias as a compliment because he kind of came around. I was thinking about the other guys that kind of faded off that were international guys.
Don Christian
Caro. Remember him for National?
Yes. Oh God, how could
nobody
you forget?
Cares about him anymore. Braden Taylor goes next. He was my pick actually. I do like Taylor
a
lot.
I like him.
He's a Rays guy that I'm like kind of trusting and hoping that they can unlock that power. And they he had will. a nice debut as well. So a decent guy to have there. A guy I really like too, Walker Martin, the Giants shortstop.
Giants.
Very polished player in my eyes.
Out of high school, correct?
Out of high school, yes. Let me double check. Yes, out of Colorado. Interesting. You don't see it in Colorado too often. Then Noble Meyer, who, again, you're going to see there's going to be leagues where he goes like eighth overall or seventh overall. Yep. And I'm not ready to take him there, but here at 2.7 is a great value.
Wonderful value.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yohandy Morales goes to Sean at 2.8. I can't say I know a huge ton. You like that pick, though. You great go with pick. Enrique Bradfield.
Why don't you explain to the listeners why I went with Enrique Bradfield Jr.?
Yeah. Alex. I mean, I stole him from you in the other league. Although it was
after,
in the third round.
Like, after?
You definitely had a chance to get him.
Well, yeah, but do you remember who I took in the – I took Eldridge in the second round. I wasn't going to take Enrique over Eldridge.
No, certainly not. He fell to me in the third round, which is kind of silly because he is going to – you know, he's going to be a big winner, I think. Maybe not for the Orioles, but he will be for someone.
Or maybe for the Orioles. I mean, why wouldn't the Orioles want him in their lineup, you know? 50 steals, he could play in 120 games.
Yeah, maybe. Rhett Lauder goes – next, followed by Aiden Miller, the Phillies prospect. Paulino Santana goes at 2.12. Then Yariel Rodriguez, the Cuban, goes. He's interesting, right? I mean, for a league like this, you actually, now that I'm thinking about it, a little bit more like detail, they gave him $32 million. And he's already been talked about maybe breaking camp with them. That's a good pick in that late. Probably would take him in a league that emphasized getting to the big leagues. You mentioned Arjun.
32?
Yeah. Arjun, not quite 32, like 27, 26.
Still.
Yeah. In this league, he probably should have gone better. That's a good pick. Arjun Namala goes after, followed by a guy I like, Ty Pete, goes to... Gator Sosa, and then Scotty picks a guy I really like too. I was angry he took him. I didn't think anybody would take him this early. Cole Carey, the 60. We talked about him, I think, a little bit when we went over the West. 65th overall player picked. I figured I could get him coming back to me in the next round, no problem. He's just so fun. He's gonna be awesome. We'll go one more round really quickly. And then mention any guys that catch your eye.
Yeah, I would like to, after we get done talking about the prospects only, I would like to just as a comp, just go through our selections in the ZAO, where the only difference is four less teams because it's a 12 teamer. Yeah. And it's not prospects only, but of course it's a first year players draft. So I just want to compare and contrast where I got a lot of those names in this league compared to prospects only.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good exercise. Miles Naylor goes at the start of the third round. Dylan Head.
Like that.
Yeah, I don't like that pick either. He's fun to have.
Sure, but not
Dylan Head. Mac Hovath, I'm definitely taking. Cooper Pratt, my guy, Rafi Velasquez, I'm taking all ahead of a lot of those other guys. Jacob Wilson goes at number 6th, and probably a name more so than a fantasy guy. But George Lombard Jr., that gives you an idea of kind of where he's viewed. Jacob
Gonzalez. Who got him?
Robbie got Lombard at the 3rd, so that would be 21.
Nice pick.
I don't know how these work anymore. 30th something.
Yeah.
Jacob Gonzalez, Jack Hurley. Then you have Luke Keyshaw. Guy I really like going at round three, pick 11, Johnny Farmello. He's kind of a high ceiling guy. Bryce Matthew is another guy I really like. Goes at 3.12. Ty Floyd, don't mind him either. Chase Dolander, if he was not drafted by the Rockies, I would have liked him a lot. This guy, Kevin Mecca Nagel, I can't say it. Mecca Nagel?
Yeah, anyway, something like that.
I didn't really have anything on him. And then I got offered a trade for him, and I researched him. And this guy's like super underrated.
Great numbers. Yeah, great.
Yeah,
numbers.
Like he looks really good. 37th overall pick. Somehow he's just slipped through my the cracks for me.
Well, it's his name. I mean, look at his last name, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
He can't even pronounce it, let alone want to look him up, you know?
McNeagle. It's weird. Yeah. Just, anyway.
You look at it and you're like, ugh, I don't want to look at him.
But yeah, he's a really good value there. And then finally, another great name. Here we go. Naiyuki Uwasawa. I think that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
For the Rays, who's again, Scotty doing his things in the fact that he's going to be up in the big leagues. I don't know how useful he's going to be in most leagues, but
scheming Scotty.
Yeah, smart. So yeah, you know, of those names I mentioned, I kind of said who I liked. I like Farmello, I like Matthews, I like McNeagle, I like Cooper Pratt and Horvath. Anybody else that jumps out for you that you really like?
Jack Hurley, but that was my pick, of course. Yeah. That third round for me, it was a little lackluster, to be honest. I felt like there was a giant drop off in our league after the second when you got into the third. But you're right. There was a lot of really good value, like Mickle McSteens, McConnellies, or whatever.
Yeah, you want it to be McConnell.
Yes, then you want it.
Mick
right.
Don, and then it's a niggle at the end, like N-I-G-L-E.
Yes. And then you're just like,
I don't know why it's giving me troubles. I know.
You can pronounce it. Anyway, you can do it, Alex.
Because it's the end of the podcast. All right, so let's do that exercise where we go over and compare kind of another league to this, a more traditional type of league, although the minor leagues are very deep, so you're going to want high upside, I'd imagine, is probably what you're looking for here more than anything, at least that's what I'm doing.
That's what I usually do. 100 minor leaguers, that's your farm.
Yeah, it's insane.
and a super deep bench.
Yeah.
By the way, I think I have, well, let's see here, 20 bench players on my offense and like two for my defense, my pitchers. Anyway, who'd you take first round in the Zao?
I took Matt Shaw.
Oh wow! Nice. Six.
Yeah.
Sixth.
And my word.
Okay. I took Kyle Teal. I believe that was, well, I took second last year, so that was 11th overall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And nothing really crazy. The top five go exactly what we said. And then again, I'm taking Shaw there. You probably would have taken a Max Clark there.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I do like Max Clark. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I do like him. Don't get me wrong.
Nobody jumps out as a crazy pick except for Rhett Lauder. I don't know if I'm taking Rhett Lauder in the first
round. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Second round.
Just to give you a couple. I mean, we can't go over every pick again, but like Imanaga goes at number two in the second round, to give you an idea, followed by Jung-Hoo Lee right after. So that's where I'm comfortable with those guys in most dynasty leagues. Mm-hmm. Although I'm probably taking Tommy Troy and Brock Wilkin ahead of those two.
Yeah, still. I'm avoiding both.
That. Yeah, I would be ready to take those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Head goes pretty early.
Real early. Let's just do our picks really fast.
Sure.
Real fast. Okay, so who'd you take round two?
So round two, I took Aiden Miller. I didn't want to, but he seemed like the best value at that point.
Still a very good pick. I like that a lot. Let's see here. Who did I take? Round two.
Or Eldridge.
That's right. Of course, Bryce Eldridge. And I love that pick personally.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah.
Yeah. This really.
I probably should. Looking back on this, I should have taken Eldridge there ahead.
Were you and I back to back in that one?
No, I had a lot
but
of
not far
on at once. Not far. Yeah, I should have taken. I like Eldridge better than Miller. Miller's not even in my top 100. I think I managed to get Eldridge in there, but wasn't paying attention.
Okay, so Third round, I had two picks. Who'd you take in the third?
Oh, you did. Yeah. Brad, that's where I got Bradfield.
That's right. And I went off for about 25 minutes. I literally screamed so many obscenities right here in my living room.
I'll be happy to trade him to you. There's no problem.
Will you? Yeah. Oh, who do you want?
Oh, you give me Eldridge back.
No.
Anyway, we'll talk off air. But then you go with Jacob Wilson, who I already kind of trash talked a little bit.
Yeah, but this is the thing about Jacob Wilson. If you look at his numbers in his cup of coffee last year, he raked. He was the number 6 overall draft pick, the very first player to be at the draft, the only player, for Christ's sake, really, to show up. And when I saw him, because he was the only one I could look at until Noble Meyer was drafted, he took it all in like such a pro. And I know his dad was arguably one of the best glove men at short I've ever seen. I used to love watching his dad play short for the Pirates. Watching him field those questions, I mean, Sean and I were probably 15 feet away from him, and he looked so effortlessly polished. And then I realized how well he was wearing his hat. And all of it came together for me, where I said to myself, if he's deep enough, like in the third round, I'll pounce all over this kid. Because compared to who else is available at this point in time, when you get into the third round, you know, what do I have to lose?
Yeah, I'm looking at the guy. I would take probably Walker Martin ahead of Wilson. I'd probably go Nimala, who you actually take later.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
And then we actually had a couple guys, you know, prospects go that were not first-year player drafts that I would take.
Yeah. I took Christian Robinson. I was really proud of myself about Christian that Robinson. One.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, I don't mind Jacob Wilson there. I mean, third round, right. The guy that's most likely making it to the big leagues, you could do worse.
Absolutely. Okay.
You could certainly do worse. Definitely. And then tell me about your guy here, Morales.
Yes. Right. Oh, Emil. Yeah. Man, I love this kid. As far as like DeVries was concerned, I'm pretty sure it was a general consensus that Emil was number 2, and it's not even really close. Like it goes DeVries, then Emil, and then pretty much the rest of the class. Big kid, 6'3", 195, like 18. Pretty sure he hits from the left side if he's not a switch hitter. Hold on, let me pull him up really fast. Hold up. Where are you at, Emil? Hold on. Here he is. Emil Morales. Only 17. Doesn't turn 18 until September. He's born in 2006. Oh, my. 6'3", 180 currently. I mean, there's nothing for me to go on numbers-wise.
That's a problem, yeah.
But, you know, great system. Great frame. He could do worse.
Yeah, no. Hey, you just don't know anything about him. So he could be amazing. He could be nothing. You'll find out in 2 years. One way or the other. Either he's up in the big leagues dominating for you and you have a stud, or
you look like a genius, or he fades away into an oblivion and you look like every other owner that's ever taken a chance.
Yeah. I don't think there's much else to go off of in terms of first year player drafts. I don't think a lot of leagues are going, you know, beyond 3 to 4 rounds.
Wow, that's crazy to me.
We went over our favorite guys. I don't think I got nothing else. I think we're good here.
Yeah, nor do I. Nor do I.
So, all right. Well, we will be moving on to the NL East, I believe, will be our next division when we talk about the next top 50 prospects.
The Braves.
Got to go with the Braves. That'd be a short talk. The Braves. It's pretty shallow, but it's actually not as bad as I
no.
As some people might think. But, I think that'll do it for us. Nate, thanks for coming on. Spring training is
upon us. As always. As always. Yep.
I think pretty much everybody plays tomorrow. I know you guys already started. That was made a shellacking of those Padres. But yeah, Futures Focus here with you. My name, Alex Sanchez, Nate Eckert again joining me. Thanks for listening. Once again, a lot of great things coming up here with spring training. We're going to have, you know, the top consensus list for the site coming out soon. We have, you know, I've got some articles that I'm working on as well coming down the line. So a lot of cool things coming in with baseball. So keep sticking up, coming to the website, checking out some other podcasts. Maybe if you have, you're just getting back into baseball season, now that football's over. So appreciate you listening. Futures Focus. We'll see you next time.